Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Lawrence Holmes here with you until 10 o'clock tonight. We spent the first hour trying to still work our way through the Bears losing. That is a thing, Sierra. We are still the I'm acting as therapist a little bit.
Has it still not processed for you yet?
I didn't think that I would have as hard of a time processing it because I'm a little bit removed from it.
Sure.
But I'm having a hard time processing it. If I am, I imagine that the average Bears fan is really having a hard time processing. By the way, the voice that you're hearing is the voice of Sierra Santos, one of our Hello. Favorite people, and the fact that she's working over at Fox 32, she's right across the street. So I was like, why don't you come hang out for an hour? And she was like, all right, I'll come and hang out for an hour. So what's up, kid?
What's up? I am so happy I could come between shows. I left. I was like, I told my producer, I was like, hey, I'm going to go do a little bit of radio. I'll see you in an hour. So he was like, okay, cool. I'm like, you know, you could listen if you want to. So they were cool. I was like, yeah, go ahead. Have fun. And I'm like, I'm just going to go hang out with my buddy. That's all.
See, that's what it's about. Well, let me ask you, I'll flip the question around. Have you processed this? Because we talked on House of L, how now you get out of the house. Now you get the opportunity to go to Halas Hall and cover the Bears. So being right there and having the post game over on Fox 32, and have you been able to process this?
Okay, so the entire week leading up to the game, I was saying if the Bears win. But in the back of my mind, I was like, yeah, there's no way the Bears aren't going to win. And I had set up my schedule based on the Bears winning because I was like, I had kept on saying if the Bears win just to sound like a – what would the word be?
Objective.
Objective, a realist, whatever. But in the back of my mind, I was like, no, that's not going to happen. So when it did happen, I was shocked. I was, I don't want to say devastated because I'm not this lifelong Bears fan. I can't empathize with that pain that most fans are going through. But I root for who I cover. I want the Bears to do well. I wanted the Bears to continue in the playoffs. I wanted them to go to LA because that meant that I was going to be back here anchoring coverage, which is super exciting. And to be a part of coverage, you know, is really exciting. And you don't want to be called a homer or whatever, but you want whoever you're covering to do well. And so it was just, oh, it hurt a little bit. It hurt.
Where were you watching from?
I was watching from the studio.
Okay.
So I was getting ready for, I was anchoring the 9 o'clock sports.
Oh.
So we led off the top and they knew coming into the day, they're like, hey, we're leading with Bears off the top. The main anchors are going to toss to you and you're going to do a whole breakdown and analysis segment, blah, blah.
A block sports.
And then, yeah, that happened.
It's a weird place for the sports anchor to be because sports then become news. We see, like, leading up to the Bears playing this game, that they were A-block stories.
Right.
That people are, oh, well, this is where you should go watch the game, or here are the ice sculptures that were done, or whatever.
That's one thing that is really cool about working at Fox, is that every day the Bears are in the A-block. And the A-block, for people who don't do TV, is that first segment right off the top. When the news starts at 9 p.m., you are getting Bears coverage right off the top, which is exciting because a lot of times stations bury the sports. You don't get sports until the D block, which is the very last segment. The reason why they do that and the reason why I explain is because sometimes sports isn't valued as much. And so if there's breaking news during, okay, somebody whatever, God forbid, gets hit by a car, all right, and or there's a huge accident, they have the ability to shrink down the sports time of the sports block and kill the sports stories in order to accommodate for breaking news. That's why sports is always at the end. So when they're committed to giving people Bears coverage right at the beginning of the newscast, I love that.
I love it too. And when I was working in Channel 5, like that was the thing where, because it was great because I got to sit next to Allison Rosati, and me and Allison Rosati would talk about football and stuff. Right. She actually knows quite a bit about football. Her son like played for Montini and won championships. Oh, cool. So she's like in it. Mm-hmm. So it was always fun to be able to kind of kick it with the news anchors, because you're right. Sports is often referred to as the toy department.
Yeah.
And it does shrink because it's at the back end of the show, and they take your 3.5 minutes, and it, but if there's rain in the area, then that shrinks to 2:45 or whatever it is. So walk me through what the set felt like as the kick goes doink, doink.
Oh, everyone was just, there was a gasp. Because I was in the newsroom watching it, and I was recording it because I'm like, oh my God, everyone's going to be cheering. I'm going to get this great celebration all in the newsroom. And yeah, then the doink doink happened, and there was no celebration. There was a collective groan, some people, you know, some expletives in the background. And then it was just super disappointing. And it was kind of like everyone sucked the air, because not only that, but the next game against the Rams was going to be on Fox. So everyone's like, yeah, we're going to get this awesome playoff game. You know, we're going to get to do all this awesome coverage. And then
nothing.
Nothing. That was it.
Yeah. It's been the last couple days. Like I found myself walking out of NBC Sports Chicago, like just kind of walking across the river. I parked across the river and I walked across the river, and I'm seeing like tons of Bears fans, like almost like zombies, like walking up and down the street, like not understand, like it's over, like this great season that the Bears had is now completely over.
I know.
And you have to wait until September to try and get back to it. It's a weird place to be. Let me ask you, since you were up there a lot, and it's so great. So Sierra Santos is here. She does sports at Fox 32. She also had made a great trip for La Vida Baseball, which we'll get to in a little bit. But with you having the chance to get up to Halas Hall more than when you were working at NBC Sports Chicago and cover the Bears, what stands out about this team from you covering it?
Everyone's so cool and collected and relaxed. I mean, you're getting ready for these big games, like, for example, the game against the Rams. In the locker room, dudes are sitting there playing cards, joking around, playing basketball. It was never this, like, uptight kind of, oh, like, we have to win this game. It was always super chill. And that's the only way I could describe it, is chill. And it was special. I can't compare it to any other Bears team, because I've never covered the Bears in their locker room up until this season. And you have to also think I came in kind of halfway.
Mm-hmm.
So I have been in other locker rooms, the Broncos, for example, and it didn't have that kind of vibe. It was also the Broncos under John Fox.
Oh, yeah.
So vibe was totally different. And I just felt like, you know, guys were having a good time. It didn't seem like an uptight, stuffy work environment, because for them, it really is work. But it didn't seem like that.
What did you think of dealing with Nagy?
He seems cool. And I don't know, because I never got to do like one-on-one interaction with him. I was just at his press conferences. But I like what he gives you. There are some coaches that are so, I don't know,
guarded.
Reserved. I was going to use the word reserved, but guarded is actually better. He actually gives you some nuggets. Like, he throws you a bone and he makes it interesting. And I think, you know, there's nothing more than the media love. The media loves a coach like that, that's more open and willing to, you know, share. You know, whenever he shared something about himself personally, it was always funny, or it was always like a great little anecdote. And you love that kind of stuff, because it gets to show you what the coach is like as a person. It's not all just coach talk. And I like that he's not all coach talk. I mean, there was the themes were repetitive.
Sure.
Okay. And, you know, of course he's going to say we're taking it one game at a time. But it wasn't so like canned answers.
I agree with you. And I enjoy the fact that he allowed us to kind of learn. Like I'm all for the coaches in any sport, and it goes in management too, that get a chance to teach us something. It's why I love listening to Rick Hahn. It's why I love listening to Theo Epstein. Mm-hmm. Because when I walk away from a conversation or a press conference or an interview with those guys, I walk away having a better understanding of baseball. And I feel like I can then convey that to the audience better. And so to me, a guy like Nagy is really valuable because it allows us as a collective, the people that are covering sports, to be better at our jobs than us guessing or maybe getting expert opinion that doesn't quite match up with what we're getting from the head coach themselves.
Well, it's speculative. That's what you have to speculate when a coach isn't direct. Because you're like, okay, well, I got to try and read between the lines. But I feel like you don't have to do that with Nagy.
Yeah, I'm with you. So for you seeing how the Bears this past season, like how that this monster like grew, what was that like to cover? Like as they become more interesting and you talked about being in the A block versus the D block, what's that like for a reporter to see that happen?
It was fun. It was fun to cover the Bears this season. You get to go in, and I looked forward to every Monday and Tuesday when I would go up there, and some days I would go during the week, and you see the massive throng of media that's there to, like, get Mitch Trubisky, and it's cool, and it's exciting to have that. This is no diss on the Bulls or the Blackhawks, but thank God that the Bears were this good this season.
Facts.
Because it took all that negative attention away from them. When the house was burning down over there, we were watering plants over at Hallis Hall. You know, it was chill and it was fun. And I'm glad I got to be a part of it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And at some point the Bulls are gonna get my undivided attention this week. Like that's going to happen at some point this
Wait,
week.
Wait, why not today?
Not today, because there's still other stuff that is higher priority for me. But at some point they're gonna get my undivided attention and Bulls fans and I are going to have a conversation about what's going on, because I think you are 100% correct that the foolishness that has gone on at the United Center with the Bulls has been swept underneath the carpet because everyone's like, don't care. Bears are good. Don't care. Right. Now, in the Blackhawks' defense, they look like they've kind of found their equilibrium. That the firing of Q was jarring. You bring in Colleton, you're like, I don't know if he knows what he's doing. I think that he's finally gotten his method across to the team, and they've been a little bit better. But the Bulls thing is, I digress. Anyway, because I don't want...
And how much of the Bulls did you watch on Sunday, huh?
None. I saw Kendall Gill, because they were doing pre and post.
Yeah.
And Kendall wanted to talk to me about the Bears game.
So, oh, I know. Kendall's such a big Bears fan.
He said and you know, Kendall does the MMA stuff too. And he said, you got to tenderize those ribs, bro. You got to get to Nick Foles. You got to tenderize those ribs. Out there talking like he Clubber Lang. So it was great to do that. And like Patrick Sharp came in too. Like Sharp came in and he was like checking in on what was going on the Bears game. So everyone was involved in it. It's kind of one of the things I love about me covering the Bears was how everyone wanted to know about what was happening with that team. And I joke that covering the Bears is the sports equivalent of covering City Hall. That here people want to know everything. I'm sure that you saw it in your post from Hallis Hall, how many people just wanted to see what it looks like inside the building. Mm-hmm. And when the Bears are good, man, this city is unbelievable.
It's a totally different vibe, and it's totally different because you have to think, I've been here. This is going to be my fourth winter here.
Yeah, you've never seen
and
a good Bears team.
And I've never seen a good Bears team. So I the topics of conversation on sports talk radio, on your local sportscasts, on local news, and the newspaper, it's just completely different. And I see now how big the Bears are here. Because, I mean, before we were just like, we would just limp through the season and we'd do the highlights and everything like that. But there was no silver lining. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So I know that we discussed a little bit of this on House of L, and Sierra sat down with me for an entire hour on the House of L podcast. You just search it on Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play Music, Spotify, and we talked a lot about the business. But I'd love for the Score listener, like the transition that you make from NBC Sports Chicago to Fox 32, and like I said, we are going to talk about the La Vida baseball stuff. How easy was the transition to move over and try to explain to people, well, I used to work over there, now I work over here, come follow me over here because we're going to do some cool stuff.
All right, you want to hear a great anecdote, and this happened 2 weeks ago. So the woman who works at the front of my building, I don't want to call it, what would you call it? A
door person?
Door person, I guess a door
reception?
Person. A door person who works in the reception area. Okay, right. She's like, man, I saw this lady and on the news and she looks exactly like you. And I'm like, are you serious? She's like, yeah. And I'm like, what station? She's like, I swear, she's your twin. She is your twin. And I'm like, oh my God, what station? What? She's like, I think she's on Fox. I don't know her name though, but I think she's on Fox. You gotta check her out. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to watch, totally. And the irony of this was I was coming home from work. She had just saw me on the news. And I'm wearing the same outfit.
Oh, no. That's why she thought you were a twin.
She's like, oh, she's your twin. And I'm like, and so finally I was like, you know what? You know why she looks exactly like me is because it is me. And she's like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And she just thought it was so funny. But she had never seen me on NBC Sports Chicago. But she saw me on Fox 32. I didn't just move there last week. I've been there for 2 years. And a lot of people who I know from out and about day-to-day interaction, okay, they're like, oh my, I saw you on TV yesterday. And I'm like, really? They're like, when did you start doing TV?
What?
And I'm like,
What is it that they thought you did?
I don't know. They thought that I drink beers at the bar because that's where they usually see me.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
But they had no idea that I was a sports broadcaster.
So there is a difference between over the air versus cable, as weird as it may sound.
There is a difference.
Do you know that there are still people who would be like, man, I love you on Channel 5?
Because
and I haven't been there in 5 years. Yeah. And I'm like, man, I saw you do the sports on Channel 5. And I'm like, for real? How'd I do? And they're like, man, you were great, man. And I'm like, I know that they don't think me and Siafa look alike because Siafa's very handsome and well-dressed. So I know that that's not what they're thinking. I definitely don't look like Blanzy. So I'm trying to figure out what it is they saw. But it's amazing like how some of that stuff like sticks in people's minds.
It's all good, though. Like, I'm very people will be like, oh, when did you start doing that? How did you get into it? And these are people I've known for a very long time, but you know, I don't walk around and I'm like, no, I'm on television. No, like I don't ever mention no one asks me what I do.
Yeah, but you would.
I'm not going to mention it.
If you're friends with someone, or like
there are casual people that I see every now and again.
But they're
or
probably following you on Insta, and it's like,
I don't know. I apparently not, but that's okay.
Yeah, if you do want to follow Sierra, it's Sierra 1R. That's a very important distinction. At Sierra 1R Santos, and you can follow her. She has a great Instagram feed and is fantastic on Twitter. She's also really good on radio, which is why we invite her to be here and hang out. We're going to take a time out. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the Bears, but she just got back from a trip to Puerto Rico, and we need to talk about baseball.
I'm going to talk about a little baseball. I hope people want to hear about baseball.
I'm ready to hear about your trip. I also want to pick your brain about exactly what the White Sox are doing.
Okay,
because
we can talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mean to throw you back into your old gig, but your old gig is valuable because you are an authority on White Sox baseball and people trust your opinion on it.
Sure.
So we need to talk about this hiring everybody at Manny Machado family thing that the White Sox seem to be doing.
Well, what do you like better, your family or money?
I like my family a lot, but if we're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars, I might have to go someplace else.
I'll ask you that. We'll rephrase that question, and we'll get to that.
All right. So that's Sierra Santos. I'm Lawrence Holmes. we are talking football, baseball, maybe a little bit of basketball, and I guess we even threw in hockey in that last segment. More to come after a quick timeout here on The Score. Wow, Tony digging into the crates for a little Jill Scott today, huh? All right, we're good with that. Welcome back in. Lawrence Holmes here with you until 10 o'clock. Sierra Santos is my guest for the 7 o'clock hour. We're hanging out talking about all sorts of stuff, including her covering the Bears and it coming to an abrupt end. I want to save the White Sox for just a little bit because I do want to talk about your trip to Puerto Rico. What were you doing in Puerto Rico?
So I recently started working with a digital media outlet that's based here in Chicago. It's called La Vida Baseball. And what it focuses on is Latinos in baseball. So unfortunately, and this isn't just me, I don't think, I feel like there is a lack of coverage of Spanish-speaking players. I think that if you do speak English, you do get more coverage. But for the guys who aren't necessarily comfortable doing an interview in English, you kind of get... I don't want to say push to the wayside, but you don't necessarily get, you know, those big time interviews, right? So they are focused only on Latinos in baseball. And it's not just Latinos that are currently playing in that Major League Baseball. It's all like historically they go all the way down the line because they also have a partnership with Baseball Hall of Fame. So they also get really awesome access to different people that maybe you normally wouldn't get access to.
So you went to Puerto Rico
with La Vida Baseball. So La Vida
Baseball. How long were you there?
5 days, 6 days, I think, in total, but 5 days of shooting. So we went there to basically do a ton of different stories. But the main objective was to basically do a documentary, a docu-series on Roberto Clemente. And Roberto Clemente it's crazy how much he's revered there. We know how big he is, but there on the island,
he's a god.
I mean, there's no other better way to put. I mean, we went to this statue, this monument, and it was a little extreme, I guess I would put it. Like, it looked like he was a saint. Like, all he was missing was the halo. And it had, like, it was a three kind of tapestry series, right? And it had, like, different phases of his life. I swear to, in the main one, in the middle, he's holding a lamb, right? Which is, I guess, the national animal, for us, an eagle would be. But he's holding a lamb. And I'm like, the producer, Lauren, is like, you think this is a little
sacrilegious?
And I'm like, yeah, girl. Yeah. He's holding a lamb. So according to the historian, he has the most statues of any athlete in the world.
No way.
The most statues, the most, what would you say? Like, because it wasn't just necessarily statues.
Monuments,
dedicated sites. Schools, because I mean, you don't have like Michael Jordan High School,
not yet.
No, but you do have I swear to God, every state just about has a Roberto Clemente High School.
No doubt about it.
So a Roberto Clemente Elementary School, or whatever, or Roberto Clemente Library, or whatever you name it, it's been named after him. So there's just the impact he's had and continues to have is incredible.
I went to Puerto Rico a few years ago. We went for Christmas, and like that was my thing. Like I was going to Hiram Bithorn Stadium and like walking around in La Tierra de los Receptadores, the land of the catchers, right. Which is great because I grew up catching and seeing all the great catchers that have come out of Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a great trip, and it's a fairly easy one to make.
It's so easy.
You know, I highly recommend that if you're looking for a fun vacation, that you go to, and a historic one, you go to Puerto Rico. And my friends in Puerto Rico have told me, tell people to come here and spend money because we need it. Because, you know, obviously all sorts of stuff.
Sure.
As they continue to recover. I mean, there's police officers who are now like not policing anymore because they don't have money. So go to Puerto Rico and spend money. But the rich history of baseball in Puerto Rico, like, I was really jealous that you were going to go cover that story. And I think that you're right, that there need to be more stories that are told on some of the players that still don't feel as comfortable speaking in English as they do telling their story in Spanish.
The way baseball is played there, everyone knows they have a different type of flair, and whether that people will continue to say, oh, well, I don't like the way he plays, it's too cocky or too this, too that. But that's the way they play. And honestly, I think it's so fun to watch. That's what makes guys like Javier Baez so fun to watch, is because he's got that swag. And places in Puerto Rico, okay, their like major league system isn't as well attended as their minor league system. So like their double A is packed, right? They've got tons of fans. The reason for that is because there's so much turnover in their big league system. And versus the minor league system, they're players that are there season after season. So they tend to get more of a following. So it's actually interesting. Like at Irán Bithorn, like they're not well attended as much as something like a double A would be.
Huh. So since you brought up Baez, how is he now that because I haven't been there since kind of the Javi Baez thing has happened. How is he looked at in Puerto Rico now?
I didn't cover that story that day, Lawrence. So they did do a Javi Baez feature, but I was mostly on the Clemente stuff.
Okay.
So I didn't get to see that necessarily firsthand, but they did. Okay. So there was a group, there was two different crews, right? I was with one crew, and then there was another crew that went out and they did, more stuff like that with Javier Baez. They went to baseball academies, which these baseball academies are insane. It's like they're just little baseball player factories. They turn them out. So it's really cool, though. It's cool to see. And, for example, we went to – first night we're there, we go to a youth league. And it's Little League Baseball. These kids are, like, you know, up to 14 years old, I want to say. And the kids are out there, and they – are mowing the lawns, they are building up the mound, so they're collecting the sand in these wheelbarrows. They're building up the mound. They have to manicure the entire field themselves because there isn't money to do that. And somebody was like, "Well, governments never pay for that." And I'm like, "If it's a public field,
yeah,
yes, they do actually. So there isn't."
There's a park district for a reason.
There's a park district, right. And so these kids are out there preparing their entire field before they even step on it to have practice.
I saw that you had a video, and I want to say the guy was like doing the baseline and was mowing the lawn like right behind you. And I was like, man, like the dedication that
No, he was – the kid was – and the mower ran out of gas mid-mow. And the kids rush out there and they got their little gas can and they filled it up and then he kept on mowing right away. But it took them about an hour, I would say, to just get their field prepped to start practicing. And you never see that here.
Where can we see it? Like if we want to see the features, are they even available yet, or are they still in the production phase?
They're still in the production phase, but it will be basically a docuseries, and it'll be little vignettes. There's going to be all kinds of stuff that'll come out, and it's not just Roberto Clemente. So if that doesn't, you know, float your boat, there are other really interesting stories out of Puerto Rico. We went to Alex Cora's hometown, which is called Caguas, and we talked about the impact. So his town of Caguas is the biggest city in Puerto Rico that was directly hit by the hurricane.
Mm.
So it's the largest city that was the most impacted, I want to say. So we went up and they had catered a lunch for us. They're like, oh, we're going to take you to lunch. And so we're like, okay, cool. And so we start driving up into these mountains, and I'm talking like steep mountains,
yeah,
where you look over the edge and yeah, you're like, oh, this is a little sketch. Like I'm a little one wrong turn, we're going to die.
Yeah.
So we're going up and we're climbing in this van up into the mountains, and we get there and they have this lunch catered for us. And they brought in, they say, oh, well, this pig was roasted by the same guy who roasted the pig for Alex Cora. And we're, oh, cool, you know, blah, blah. And we get there and we realize the reason why we're there is because they were showing us what the money that the Red Sox had donated bought. And what they had bought was these self-sufficient batteries. So if there is any type of hurricane, if there's any type of earthquake, these people can get water without any problem. Because after the hurricane hit, they didn't have water for 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
2 months they didn't have water. There's a little creek, and the guy showed me how they just put some rocks down, and they were bathing. The entire little village was bathing and washing clothes in the creek because they had no other option. So we got to see firsthand where the money went to and what it bought. And it was cool to see that. And you could tell the director of the village was just so appreciative. And he was like, you know what? He may be manager of the year, but he's really the person of the year in our eyes.
Since you and I talk about some of these more difficult issues when it comes to Latinos in sports and Latinos in baseball, I'm curious how you feel about the new objective that Major League Baseball has with Cuba and whether or not you think it'll work where you know, they're going to let the Cuban players kind of be people are not going to have to jump into other countries and get on rafts to play Major League Baseball. But I think one of the biggest fears is that the people who operate baseball in Cuba are going to take this money and not disseminate it to other players or to the cities. Can there be a working relationship between Major League Baseball and Cuba?
It's going to be really tough. I don't know. We'll have to see how it shakes out, because the one thing I like is that these guys aren't going to have to risk their lives or pay somebody an absurd amount of money to smuggle them out of the country. I mean, you hear how some of the players escape from the island, and it's scary.
It's terrifying.
And
some of our favorite players have had some terrifying ordeals getting themselves out of Cuba and here to the mainland.
All I have to say is that if it deters the human trafficking aspect, I'm for it. Because no one wins in that situation. The baseball player doesn't win. And you have to think they're also paying some of these smugglers or these agents, so-called agents, they're paying them 10% of their salaries every year. And that's insane. They're basically being blackmailed into paying these guys who help them escape. And so I just hope that if it curtails the amount of human trafficking that is going on, then I'm for it.
Did you happen to hear the Spanish call of the end of the Bears game?
Yes, I did. Somebody showed it to me.
The one from the Eagles was hilarious. Our Omar, who does the Bear stuff, who does a lot of stuff here in Chicago, he was on the Bears call. But that one that the Eagles announcer did,
I heard that one,
was hysterical. Tony, can you find that call? The call of the Philadelphia call of the doink doink, the block doink doink from Cody Parkey. I don't think that we can play it enough. And my hope is that, and it's weird because I think that when it comes to English speaking announcers, we kind of look down on the ones that go crazy. Like I think that we like the ones that really like Joe Tessitore has gotten a lot of grief this year because he's very excitable on Monday Night Football. But when I hear American sports in other languages, I go, maybe we should like let these announcers go a little bit goofy on some of this. Like maybe there is some fun to it. I guess there's kind of like this old school kind of decorum that's supposed to be shown mm-hmm. when these things happen. And maybe we should let go of that.
Maybe, but I don't, why do you think that people criticize it? Why do you think people don't like it?
I don't know. Like is it maybe because it's outside of the box of what we would consider good taste when it comes to sports casting? Like, I'm not sure. I just know that we, even if we don't necessarily understand all the words, when we hear the German or Russian or Spanish call of a big sports moment, we go, wow, they're really enjoying it. And if a play-by-play guy here goes this insane over a call, we make fun of him.
Pie de Cody Parkey. 43 yardas. El snap. Le mete el pie. Distancia, dirección. Le dio el poste. No, falló. Oh. No, señor. Los Eagles se van con la victoria. ¡Ay, papá! No, señor. Chicago. Nos vamos para New Orleans. Philadelphia gana el partido. Le dio el poste.
That's so great.
I love it.
I love it so much. But if Jeff Joniak, well, he wouldn't be doing it because he'd be on the losing side. But it's is it Irv Reese who does Eagles games?
Merrill Reese.
If he did that, like, do we even have his call? Like, do we have Merrill Reese's call of it? Because I'm sure it's excited, but it's not as excited as that call was.
I don't know why there's not a love for that type of enthusiasm, because people who are watching the game, that's how they're calling it.
Right. All right. So here's Merrill Reese. So we can see
we're
if there's
a side by side comparison.
Yeah, we can run my hypothesis and see if it actually does something.
Ball is snapped, placed, kicked, and it is no good. No good. It is no good, and the Eagles win.
He missed it.
It is no good.
Not as descriptive, but it was pretty lively. It's pretty fun. All right, so, but I do think that there is something to that, and I think that goes for the game itself, where you're talking about how the game is played in Puerto Rico and adding some of that to our collective as sports fans. Maybe we need to do that on the broadcast side, too. Morris Sierra Santos, we are going to talk about the White Sox, and we will do that next here on The Score. The bottom of the hour is being brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Don't miss Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Single game tickets are available at Penn State versus Penn State, Rutgers, Minnesota, and Ohio State. Buy now at NUSports.com. Sierra Santos is hanging out here with me in studio. We've been talking a little bit of baseball, so we've been talking macro, like baseball macro. Let's get baseball micro right now, Miss Sierra Santos.
Okay.
Let's talk about the White Sox and their pursuit of Manny Machado. What do you believe as far as the chances of them getting Manny Machado? You cover this White Sox organization for a long time. What do you believe?
I get the tactic of going out and signing John Jay and Yonder Alonso. So Yonder Alonso being his brother-in-law, right? John Jay being his off-season workout buddy. There was a whole article that came out about their close-knit relationship. Is that enough to sway him? I don't know, because bottom line, I think it's going to come down to where does he want to go, where he's going to get paid the most, and where he's going to win the fastest. Because if I'm him, that's what I'm paying attention to. I don't think that relationships are overrated, but I think sometimes they can be hyped up a little bit too much, because you're going to form relationships no matter where you're at. Listen, if I decide to go take a part-time job at Target, I'm probably going to make friends with some of my coworkers. It's just natural that happens. So I don't know how much his relationships will play into his decision. I still think that if the offer from somewhere else outside of the White Sox is so much higher and that other team is that much closer, he's going to go over there.
Yeah, I keep wondering what the sliding scale is. The winning plus the money, like where does it become valuable for him to have the situation be right versus the dollars? And you're right. Like, let's use the example of our business. Mm-hmm. Let's say someone offered me the opportunity to do a radio show with you, that I'd be like, yes, like me and Sierra, we'd be kicking ass and taking names. And then another radio station was like, well, we can't afford Sierra, but we're gonna give you way more money, but you don't get to work with Sierra.
And I'd be like, take the money.
Right. But there would be a sliding scale. They'd be like, okay, well, it's not worth it at this level, but maybe it is worth it at this level. And I just wonder what he values. And that's what we're coming down to. Like, no one knows like what he values. He may value having Yonder Alonso here, John Jay here, and then getting a whole bunch of money. He may also be finessing the White Sox. And now my boys are straight. They're good. They got their money, and they're here. They're going to be playing in the majors, and I'm going to go play with the Yankees or with the Phillies.
But John Jay is just a one-year contract.
Yes.
So there's no long-term financial stability for John Jay going to the White Sox.
Yes. Like, to me, the White Sox have to do all this stuff. They have to. They have to overpay. They have to kind of, I don't know if this is a demand by Manny Machado, but you try to make this as an attractive as a place as possible to get him over on the South side. I'm scared that it's not going to work. And then the White Sox are stuck with Yonder Alonso and John Jay. And we're like, why didn't it work?
Well, the other caveat to this is, will they give him a great contract with an opt-out? And I think you give him that exit and you say, hey, you know what? If you're not liking it here, you can leave. And we'll let you leave.
And you'll get big money again because you'll only be 31 years old.
Exactly. And you're going to get paid again. So, obviously, I think if the White Sox are trying to sign him to a 10-year deal, is that going to happen? I don't know. And I, if I'm Manny Machado, I don't know that I want to do that. I was talking with another anchor, and they were saying, well, you know, if he goes to the Yankees, he's not going to be the face of the Yankees. There are so many faces to the Yankees. If he went to the White Sox, he would automatically be the face of the franchise. Now, do you want that kind of pressure? Yes, but maybe not. Maybe you'd prefer to go where it's...
where the Aaron Judge is already,
yes,
you know, eating up some of that, and you can... I don't know. And you're right. Like, it's not like, as much as we love the White Sox, and it's not like they're looked upon nationally as a great franchise.
I'm going to tell you something. I talked to a player. He once played for the Cubs, does not play for the Cubs anymore. And he told me, man, I really want to stay in Chicago. And I said, well, I don't, if you don't get a deal with the Cubs, why wouldn't you try to get a deal with the White Sox? And he goes, I don't want to play for the White Sox. And I said, okay, why not? He goes, nobody wants to play for the White Sox. And I was taken aback by that statement. I said, why not? You know, you're still in Chicago. He's like, well, I love Chicago, but I don't want to play for them.
Wow. There's my feelings.
I said, well, what is the reasoning behind it? You can't just say, I don't want to play for them and just leave it at that. He said, because no one goes to their games. When you're a visitor playing at their stadium, it's kind of depressing that there's not enough people in the stands. So if you want to be a good, White Sox fans, if you want a good team, go to the games and watch them on TV, because that's only going to help them. So he called it out and he said, you know what? I don't like playing there because it's quiet.
That's fair. I mean, I completely get that, which is why they have, what's wrong, Tony?
We don't need them anyway.
that is.
But I didn't tell you who it was.
That is typical White Sox fan reaction to that, by
the way.
We heard
find out who it was. We're not going to say it, though.
Really?
Yeah.
No, we didn't. We just deduced that.
You have a speculation?
Yes.
On who it
strong
is?
Strong speculation.
All right, well, we'll check with Sierra after the segment's over and see if you guys are right. Type it up on the screen. Type it up on the screen. Because I don't know who it is. But I get that, and I think that's why they find themselves in a position where they have to overpay. They're going to have to go over the top. Where do you think Machado ends up?
I think the easiest answer is the Phillies. I think that's the easiest. But it could be New York. It could be the White Sox. But I don't know.
Where do you think Bryce Harper ends up?
That I don't know. Where do you think he ends up?
L.A. Or actually, you know what? I think he ends up back in Washington.
You think so?
Uh-huh.
You think so?
I think Washington has kind of been sitting there like, let's see what happens. Let's see what the market actually is. Bryce, you know that you have $300 million waiting for you here. You know it. We've made you that offer. You know this city. This city loves you. You won the home run derby, blah, 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 blah. Come on home for that $300 million. and let's have a party. To me, it's there, but there is like my White Sox fandom also has this like nervous tick about Theo finding $400 million in a couch and being like and being like, hey Bryce, guess what?
Sure.
We found all this money all of a sudden, and guess what? We would love for you to come out and play right field.
Wouldn't that be huge?
It would be amazing.
It would be so fun. If it did happen.
It would be amazing. It would also be soul crushing to a lot of White Sox fans that were like, maybe Bryce Harper will be a White Sox.
I think if you're gonna go and sign, go for the bright lights.
Agree.
Of LA. Go for the bright lights of New York City. Go ahead, go do it. If you wanna make a splash, if you wanna get paid, if you wanna be that much closer to winning a World Series, go do that.
Well, you could do that with the Cubs too, though. I mean,
no, I was talking about, in this instance, Machado. That's why I think it would be tough for him to convince him to be like, hey, come here and grow.
Come here and wait for Lubob and Eloy.
Come here and grow.
And Kopech to rehab and all that stuff.
Well, I like that people are weighing in, trying to figure out who the player was.
I think the guys may have gotten it because it made sense considering where he was before. But anyway, Sierra, thank you so much for coming and hanging out with me. You know, it's always, I always love it when you're here, and I think we do great radio whenever you're hanging out. So I'm happy that you're right across the street.
Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah. The feedback is always good. People like hearing you on the score, which is good news. So
I don't know how you can read these comments at the same time. Don't people bash you?
Yeah, I get bashed.
But you got thick skin, so it doesn't matter.
Not as thick as I'd like. I think my New Year's resolution is to not be baited into arguments. Like I'm that's like my thing this year. Like I'm gonna try really hard not to.
I can't wait to tweet all this inflammatory stuff at you now.
I mean, it really hurt my feelings if you were doing it. Like we're actually friends. Like that would actually hurt. But
I'm gonna make a burner account. I hate Lawrence Holmes. Find me, at me.
Sierra, you're the best. Follow her on Twitter and Instagram so you can see her roasting me on there. At Sierra, which has one R in it, Santos, and watch her on Fox 32 tonight. You'll be doing sports at 9 p.m. You can check out Sierra. She is the best. We're going to talk more in depth about the White Sox with James Fegan of The Athletic next here on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.